WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's time for our monthly check-in with our friends at the journal Nature. Joining me this week to go over some major developments and trends in science is Nick Howe of the Nature Multimedia team. Nick, good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you too.
So, Nick Howe, a handful of lawsuits about climate change have made headlines here in the U.S., but there's a new analysis out that has found that climate litigation is on the rise globally. Give us some of the highlights of that work.
Yeah, so this seems to be a growing trend of trying to promote climate action by governments by taking them to court. So the study found that the majority of these cases are in the US, but there's actually an increasing amount of them in low and middle income countries like Pakistan and India. And this has been on the rise since around 2006.
I mean, how many are we talking about total?
Total, there's about 1,300 or so.
That's a lot of lawsuits.
It certainly is. And about 1,000 of those were in the United States.
Wow. And did this analysis only look at lawsuits that, as you said, are asking for or promoting the idea of more action to address climate change? Did they look at lawsuits that might be saying, no, we shouldn't do anything to address climate change?
The vast majority of these lawsuits were to try and promote action to prevent climate change or to at least adapt towards it. There were a very few minority of them that did act against that.
And what's the upshot of this analysis now that we know how many lawsuits and where they're taking place?
The analysis that was conducted by policy researchers at Grantham Research Institute on Climate Change and Environment at the London School of Economics, they say that these cases increasingly draw on what's called attribution science, which aims to establish like causal links between human-induced climate change and certain extreme weather events. So it looks like they're trying to really connect like what is happening to people in this extreme weather to climate change.
So maybe this is an indication that the science has reached a point where it's actually finding standing in courtrooms.
Definitely. I mean, like, this is average people taking governments to court. For example, there was a farmer in 2015 in Pakistan who sued the national government for failing to implement its 2012 climate policy.
Hmm. Well, Nick Howe, switching gears, the Hungarian government has taken control of about 40 institutions that are part of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. What is the backstory here? What was the problem they saw, and why did they feel that they needed to take over these research institutions?
So the background to this has been quite a long, drawn-out battle between the government and the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. So the government says it wants to increase innovation in the country, and it feels to do that it needs to take more control over the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, and this is in particular trying to take charge of their buildings. So there's been quite an outcry even from the international community and also from scientists within Hungary themselves. They are worried that this is going to impact their autonomy and their ability to do science well.
You mentioned there's been a bit of outcry from the international science community. Is that because Hungary is a major player or because they see this, even if it is potentially kind of a small case, as an important infringement on scientific freedom in some way?
I think it's definitely the latter. Like, I think most of the international community feel that science requires a certain amount of autonomy and certain distance from the government in order to do it properly. And also, they worry that as part of these new laws that the Hungarian government is trying to introduce, it means that the researchers in Hungary will have to compete for all of their funding. They will have no basic funding covered. And that may really impact the science that they're able to do. And, you know, this could reduce their international standing. This may mean that they're not able to compete on a global stage.
Although, thinking about in the U.S., we have clearly government science agencies, and then most academic scientists are receiving funding from the federal government. So how different is this Hungarian government takeover of these research institutions?
So this is quite different because this will give basically total control to the Hungarian government. They will be able to decide who gets what, and they'll also, as I said, have control over the buildings of the universities as well.
Well, Nick Howe, NASA, back in the United States, is making some changes to how it assigns time that researchers can use on the various different large telescopes that NASA owns and runs. And they say they're making these changes in order to address gender bias in that assignment process. How much evidence was there of gender bias?
So this is based on some studies that were done with the Hubble Space Telescope. And this isn't managed by NASA. It's managed by a different institution. But they were interested to see whether there was any bias in how they decide who gets telescope time and how they distribute funds. So they invited some people who study bias to observe the peer review process. And they found that there was clear evidence that there was bias in the discussions that people were having when they were deciding on this process. And so as a result of that, they introduced what is called a double-blind or dual-anonymous review, which means that you don't know who the reviewer is and the reviewer doesn't know who they're reviewing either. And they found that this really helped to reduce this bias.
And is that what NASA is instituting? And are there any other changes that they're making?
So, yeah, this is exactly what NASA's instituting. They're going to do this for all of their future telescope proposals. And it should affect around 650 researchers working about 2,300 proposals. At the moment, it's just looking at telescope stuff, but they are suggesting that they may try and do this on a more wide range of projects, but they do expect a little bit of pushback from that.
That's Nick Howe of the journal Nature and their multimedia team. Nick, thanks so much.
Thank you.